Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The Supreme Court under Chief Justice John Roberts is known as a hot bench, with the exception of Clarence Thomas, who hasn't said a word in court since 2006. The court is said to be chatty, and this morning they did not disappoint. On the first of 3 days of historic hearings on the constitutionality of President Obama's landmark health care reform, 8 of 9 justices fired almost a question a minute in the first 30 minutes of arguments. At issue today, whether it's premature to even take up the law. 26 states and a record 136 organizations, including the Montana Shooting Sports Association, have filed briefs against the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. The Obama administration and groups like the Washington and Lee University Black Lung Clinic have filed in favor. So how's it going on this first day? Washington Post reporter N.C. Eisenman was listening in at the courtroom. And N.C., could you describe the atmosphere both inside and outside the courtroom where we're hearing a lot of people are gathering?
Yeah, so the area in front of the steps of the courthouse it's just completely filled with demonstrators, doctors in lab coats, people waving placards, just a lot of people coming to express their opinion. And then I was inside briefly. I wasn't in the courtroom itself. I was in a special area for press where we could hear the arguments because I needed to duck out and file early on what was happening as it was happening.
Well, and we're hearing that a lot is happening. Let's just get to today's consideration, which is whether or not to take up the law. The health care reform law calls for a penalty on individuals who don't purchase insurance, most individuals. But that fee,
who don't obtain insurance,
who don't
obtain it any number of ways.
Right, yeah. Their employers might get it for them, but that fee doesn't go into effect until 2014. And I guess the question being argued is that fee a tax, because this arcane Federal Anti-Injunction Act of 1867 says lawsuits can't be brought against taxes until the tax goes into effect. So, what are we hearing today?
So interestingly, in a twist, on this particular issue, both the Obama administration and those contesting the law agree that that the case can move forward and that this arcane law does not apply. So the court actually appointed a private attorney to argue the case that this Anti-Injunction Act does apply. And as you said, it was fast and furious. There was a lot of questions, and you know, it's always dangerous to read too much into the questions, but there was certainly a lot of skepticism coming from the justices as to whether they really were barred from reaching a decision on this issue at this time by the Anti-Injunction Act.
In other words, you're hearing, and some people were speculating with the judges, seize on this arcane law and say, phew, we don't have to do this. But you're hearing that the judges are not doing that. Does that mean they don't see the fee as a tax? Because doesn't that get tricky for Democrats who, if some want to claim these fees as taxes, because that means the federal government has a right to exercise the right to have a tax?
Yes. Well, here's where it gets really legal and technical. It's not necessarily the case, and this is what the government is arguing. They're arguing that for the purposes of Congress's taxing authority, this can't, you know, this penalty can be considered a tax. And I should say, by the way, that they also think that they have that Congress had the right to enact this insurance mandate through another authority, which is the authority to regulate commerce. But they're saying it could, you know, for technical reasons, legal reasons, which take a while to get into, just because it's a tax for the purposes of taxing authority doesn't mean it's a tax for the purposes of the Anti-Injunction Act.
Well, so people have been saying that the justices know all of these issues so well, they're not really asking questions to be informed about them. They're asking questions, in essence, to either telegraph their thinking to the lawyers before them or to the other justices. And you're saying that it sounds like you're hearing them in favor of going forward.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly were making kind of declarative statements in addition to their questions. So you had, for example, Justice Stephen Breyer saying, you know, if just because it's being collected in the same manner as a tax doesn't automatically mean it's a tax. And then you had Justice Scalia saying, you know, articulating the principle that the court shouldn't be deprived of jurisdiction unless there's very clear reasoning. And then he said, quote, I find it hard to think this is clear, whatever it is, else it is. And then you had, you know, Justice Ginsburg raising very forcefully, in fact, the arguments of some of the challengers, which is they're saying what's being contested here is not the penalty portion of this insurance mandate. It's the fact that the government is telling you you have to obtain insurance, the, quote, must-buy provision. And so that's what's at issue, not the tax aspect or even the penalty aspect.
Well, we understand that Justice Sonia Sotomayor is asking, what is the parade of horribles if the court does take this up, indicating, you know, what could be so bad? So Washington Post reporter N.C. Eisenman there listening in at the Supreme Court this morning on this historic day one of arguments for and against health care reform. It's sounding to her like the Supreme Court is dismissing an arcane federal law and saying, no, we can go forward with this. N.C., thanks so much.
Thank you.